So, of course, we'll be doing this live mock draft using the PFF mock draft simulator you can find at pff.com. It's the best mock draft simulator on the planet. You could do a full 7 rounds if you wanted to do it for your favorite team, or you could do all 32 NFL teams as well. You could trade players and trade picks as part of that PFF mock draft simulator. We will not be doing any trades in this mock draft. Probably we'll be doing some in future mock drafts, but with the draft order now set, we wanted to do our mock draft saying, okay, just what is it right now? What would teams do if nobody traded their pick right now? So let's pull up that PFF mock draft simulator right now. And it's all of its beauty right now. Dalton, do you want the odds or evens picks before we go into this one?
Oh, wow. Oh, I'll take, I'll take the evens. I'll let you, okay. I'll let you go first this time, I think, because we've got some developments with the Titans where it just came out now that they fired their GM, Rand Carthon.
Yes.
So we really have no idea the direction here. So I'm letting you be the GM of the Titans
today. All right.
Today.
I'll take it. That means I also have your New York Jets at number 7 overall.
Take them. You can have them.
let's start this mock draft right now. Obviously, you can see right there, you can trade picks if you want to do it, but we're not going to do it here. All right, so Tennessee Titans at number 1 overall. Now, this is, of course, maybe not the draft that you'd want to be taking a quarterback number 1 overall. It's just not as strong as, say, last year's draft was. Like, I would say Cam Ward, Jadeur Sanders in this year's draft. If they were in last year's draft, they'd probably be in that tier with Michael Penix Jr., Bo Nix, and J.J. McCarthy. But even so, Tennessee, they desperately need a quarterback right now. And I think Brian Callahan just wants to get his guy in there. Now, there's a lot of rumors right now that they are in love with Cam Ward, the quarterback from Miami, who's currently the number 1 quarterback on the big board for PFF. I'm still diving through the quarterbacks right now, Dalton. I think Cam Ward will likely be the pick, but if we're doing this based off what we would do, I think I'm going to have Shador Sanders as QB1 in this draft. And I think in Brian Callahan's offense, obviously the former Bengals offensive coordinator, I'm not comparing Shador Sanders to Joe Burrow, but he's got Burrow-like qualities to him, right? And I think that at a place like Tennessee, where they are building up that offensive line, which is very important for Shador Sanders, they've got J.C. Latham, they've got Peter Skoronski there as well. You can still continue building that offensive line, obviously. But I think Shador Sanders is a really good fit in this offense. He's, again, probably not going to be the number 1 overall pick on actual draft day, but in terms of what I would do, I really like this fit with Shador Sanders to Brian Callahan.
I think there's a long way to go, and it could be either of them. And I could see the justification for either of them. I think they're clearly the two best quarterbacks in the class. I would lean towards Shador also, but if Cam Ward were to go first here, I wouldn't bat an eye, honestly. I think it's very, very close. They're slightly different talents when you talk about Cam being a little more of a gunslinger. He improvises a little more. He's got that swagger about him on the field, right? And Shador, I think you mentioned about the fit with Brian Callahan. Timing, accuracy, ball placement, processing of defenses, right? I think he does all those things. And what we have to remember about Shador, yes, I know, he takes too many sacks. I heard the same thing about Jaden Daniels last year, and he's going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. What he was asked to do on a Colorado team that was literally incapable of running the football. There was no balance. There was even things in the passing game that were missing. He really had to just carry their offense, him and Travis Hunter and a couple other good receivers, to as far as they possibly could, right? They went 9-4 this year. I get it, but we have to remember they took over a program that was 1-11. And to get him to 9-4 in just 2 years with no running game to speak of, and a defense that got better as this year went on, but was still, I would say, more solid than spectacular. I would lean Shador, but I could see it either way. I think it's very close. They're clearly the two best guys in this draft. Either pick here, I think, is fine.
And Tennessee, the worst passing grade in the league this year, with a 56.9 team passing grade. I think the Will Levis experiment just hasn't really worked out all that well. Again, it's not the draft that you would love to take a quarterback number 1 overall, but in Tennessee's case, you might have to. And Dalton, another team that might have to is Cleveland at number 2. So with Cam Ward on the board here, are you going to go with him here, or are you going to go somewhere else for Cleveland?
This is funny. I think we're not doing trades in this scenario, but
this is a trade down spot.
This to me is a prime trade down spot for two reasons. One, Cleveland needs assets. Okay, I don't think their team is equipped to have a rookie quarterback come in there, certainly not start next year. Plus, you have Deshaun Watson likely under contract for one more year. He's going to play when healthy in 2025, or they're going to find other options to ride out the year. There's a chance the Browns can be picking first next year. I'll be honest with you. Who knows? Miles Garrett says he doesn't want to go through a rebuild. I don't know what other option there is in Cleveland that's not considered a rebuild, if we're just calling it something different. If they can convince him that it's a retool, then I guess, cool. But I would trade down. I think teams looking to get ahead of the Giants, maybe the Raiders or the Jets looking to get ahead of the Giants for the second quarterback on the board here, in this case Cam Ward, or again for the Browns, they need as many assets as possible. They have very, very few long-term assets. I like Jerry Jeudy at receiver. Their offensive line is a mess. It's a lot of veterans, a lot of injury-prone guys. You have Myles Garrett, but if you have to reset, I mean, this is the part where I would consider a trade of Myles Garrett, because you're probably getting two first-round picks for him at least. And,
yeah.
And if you want to reset your whole franchise, the Browns aren't winning in 2025.
Mm-mm.
We know this. And I do like that they kept Kevin Stefanski. I'm a fan of that. He's a fantastic coach. It's not in Stefanski. The Watson trade is just...
He won Coach of the Year last year.
Yeah.
Like,
the Watson trade has just sunk this whole thing.
But is he a two-time Coach of the Year? I believe he is. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's won it twice in the last 5 years. So, I mean... It's not Stefanski. They need players, and they need a lot of them. I wouldn't go quarterback here. I don't think they're set up to take a quarterback.
They seem like the Kirk Cousins team, don't they, a little bit?
The connection with Stefanski is possible. I, you know, we've also heard maybe who knows where Aaron Rodgers ends up. You know, I think there could be a one-year fix like that, or they could just keep doing
it. I feel like Rodgers might retire before he goes to Cleveland.
Maybe. There's probably other better spots for him. But just along that line of thinking, if they're going to stay here – I think then you have options. You could take the best defensive player in Mason Graham.
Yep.
You could take a receiver like Ted Earl McMillan. You could think about Travis Hunter. I don't know if how that goes with, you know, if Deion is going to, you know, all that stuff influence all that with him and Shadur. But I think I would go offensive line. I think I would take an offensive lineman. Let's play long term. Let's get a left tackle. And for Stefanski's system and all the zone blocking that he wants to get into, I'm going to go Kelvin Banks here.
Okay.
I think it's a system fit. I think, look, is it a flashy pick? No, but the Browns, they're not going to win in 2025. So if we're making a win now pick, or if we're taking even if we're taking Ted Earl McMillan, and we have no idea what our quarterback situation is in 2025, what does that do for us? I mean, so we're going to have a year where Tet maybe gets 700 yards in his rookie year, and the system's a mess. And who knows if they were to be picking top five or top three again next year, would they keep Stefanski after next year? Which is sad, because he's a great coach. I think he'll be a head coach somewhere else the second he leaves. But it's too unstable. You take an offensive tackle, you can at least plug that in, and no matter what, if Kelvin Banks hits, he can hit for any coach.
Absolutely, yeah. I probably would have gone Travis Hunter there, only because obviously you can use help in the receiving core and also use help in the secondary as well. But I love Kelvin Banks Jr. I think he is OT1 in the NFL draft right now. It's close between him and Will Campbell, but I thought Banks was far and away the better tackle this year, especially. And Banks has been terrific for 3 years at Texas as well. So I like that pick there for Cleveland. If you're the Giants, you sprint this card in right now at number 3 overall. You sprint in Cam Ward. I mean, this is a team that you look at what John Mara, his postseason press conference, the owner of the Giants, and he was just talking about, he's like, I have run out of patience. We need to win. We need to win now. We need to figure out what we're going to do at quarterback. So if you're Brian Daboll and you're Joe Shane, the head coach and the general manager of the Giants, clearly, 2025 is do or die for you. And you cannot go into next year not having any answers at the quarterback position, especially when your owner is flat out telling you, hey, you're going to get fired. I am telling you right now, I'm out of patience. Now, it's a little funny seeing a guy being like that upset in his postseason press conference and not make any changes at all whatsoever. But at least if you're Shane and Dable, you have one more chance, and you cannot spend this pick on anything other than a quarterback. So if you're the Giants at number 3 overall, I'm probably desperately trying to trade up to number 1 or 2 to guarantee myself either Cam Ward or Shador Sanders, who we know Sanders wants to go to the Giants. He wore the Giants cleats at the bowl game. He played catch with Malik Nabers in the New York City streets during the Heisman ceremony. But with him off the board here, Cam Ward, I think, is a home run pick for the Giants, and is a pick that, quite literally, they have to make a number 3 overall.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I think you make a good point about possibly, again, the Browns. You know, we mentioned about other teams trading up to 2, but the Giants could trade up one spot. Probably cost you a 3rd or a 4th round mm-hmm. pick to do it.
It's worth it.
It's absolutely worth it, because you have to. If the Giants were to let somebody get ahead of them into that second spot, the Raiders or the Jets are the two teams I'm looking at here. And it's possible, because those two teams are picking 6 and 7. Not that far to get from 6 or 7 to 2. It would obviously cost you something, but the Giants can't leave this draft without a quarterback. You're absolutely right. And if Cam Ward were to naturally fall to them at 3, or Shadur, either one, got to take him.
I don't know if there's a team in the NFL that needs Drew Aller to declare more than the Giants. They are probably desperately hoping. At least there's some other QB3 out there that they can at least get at number 3 overall.
Well, it would relieve the pressure on the other teams
yes.
to trade up, too. Absolutely. Yeah. And plus, you're picking top 3 if you actually have 3 options. Now, is Aller at 3rd overall maybe the best value right now. I personally, would I call it a reach? I would, but I also think he's would clearly be the third best quarterback in this draft.
Yeah, I'm
with that too. So it's a tough position they're in, but one where they have to walk away with a starting quarterback.
Yep. All right, number four overall now. You have the New England Patriots on the clock. What are they going to do?
There's two clear options here. It's either you take the best player on the board, and it's Travis Hunter, and you have a receiver slash corner who you can figure out what to do with later. And again, this is another team. Elliott Wolf stays as the de facto GM, but we now have no idea who what their coaching staff is going to look like. And if it's Mike Vrabel, which has been heavily rumored, although obviously not confirmed yet, would he take kind of the old school approach and go trenches and take Will Campbell? Or would he make the flashy pick with Travis Hunter? I think it's clearly those two guys. They need both. I mean, they need everything around Drake May on offense, and I don't think either one is the wrong pick. But, man, it's hard to see Travis Hunter falling much further than this pick, right?
So he wouldn't fall farther than five, I'll tell you that.
No,
right,
he wouldn't get by. He wouldn't get by Jacksonville at five. No way. I think this really – because this sets the road for the rest of the draft, this pick, if this were to fall like this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go Travis Hunter. I'm going to go in the boat where the Patriots, I mean, they have nothing at receiver. Their best receiver right now is Kayshon Boutte, who just had the only 100-yard game by any Patriots wide receiver all year against the Bills backups. Let's go with Travis Hunter, and we'll figure out the plan for it later. I think he's going to get a legitimate shot to play both ways because, look, he hasn't proven that he can't do it, and I know it's at an NFL level, but – I could make an argument he's both wide receiver one and CB1 in this draft, and he's in the same body. You almost have to take a gamble on that talent and just spend money in free agency on this offensive line. You have David Andrews. You have Mike Owenu at right guard. Go out and, you know, it's our old theory around here, creep back to average up front. They need to do that before they go trying to take swings on superstars. And I love Will Campbell as a player. He's going to go very soon for us somewhere here. But New England so badly needs to give Drake May something to work with. I'll go with Hunter here.
Okay. I have the Jacksonville Jaguars on the clock at number five overall. I'm between kind of three players right now. Mason Graham, his teammate Will Johnson, and then Will Campbell. I think I'm going to go with Will Johnson. I think getting a guy opposite of Tyson Campbell should be paramount for the Jacksonville Jaguars this offseason. I love Will Johnson's tape. Obviously banged up this year with a turf toe injury. I think he missed like seven games this year with that turf toe. But I mean, before that, in his sophomore year and his freshman year, he was absolutely terrific. So I think he's a lockdown corner. He's still a top 10 player in this draft. I think corner might be the biggest need for Jacksonville going into next year. Obviously, the offensive line is critical as well. But I'm probably going to have Will Johnson higher than Will Campbell on my own big board. I think Mason Graham's the best overall player here. But in terms of need plus value, I think Will Johnson's probably the best pick that Jacksonville can make here. So I'm going to go with Will Johnson, the corner from Michigan, at number five overall.
Yes, another case where we'll see what type of coverage they're running. But you've comped him to Patrick Surtain plenty of times, and I think he's a fit in any system. I mean, the only thing that gives me any pause at all is some nagging injuries he's had the last 2 years. But when he's on the field, he's just spectacular. And to have Johnson and Tyson Campbell on the back end now, no matter what system you're running, that sure feels like a really good corner duo in the making. Campbell, a down year. The entire Jags coverage unit had a down year. They ran way too much man coverage. It was a whole big thing. It was tough to watch this season. But to have Johnson and Tyson Campbell on the back end, I think, is a very good start in their secondary.
And last, real quick, the last corner they took in the top five of an NFL draft was Jalen Ramsey. That worked out pretty well for them.
That guy's pretty good.
Yeah.
That'll do. Raiders at six. All right, we're not getting a quarterback. Maybe we have to figure, if they're not aggressive enough to trade up to, say, number two, then we have to figure out what we're doing at quarterback. And there's some decisions here because, I mean, there's some great players. Tedero and McMillan, they need a number one receiver. I like Jacoby Myers, had his first 1,000-yard receiver this season. You have to like Brock Bowers. He's been amazing this year. I mean, to have Tet and Myers and Brock Bowers sounds kind of fun. There's also the problem, and I don't think it's because of their offensive line. Very often, you know, often I get on teams' offensive lines of like, hey, we can't block people.
Yeah.
The Raiders' offensive line is not that bad. When you look at Colton Miller, Dylan Parham, Andre James, Jackson Powers Johnson somewhere in there, DJ Glaze was solid at right tackle, which I don't think we were expecting at all as a day three pick. They had the worst rushing grade since 2017. And obviously there's Ashton Jeanty sitting there. And I'm sitting here going, okay, if we beef up at receiver with McMillan, And I wonder if it's possible if the Raiders get in on a T. Higgins or someone like that too. Well, who's throwing it to him, right? If I go and get Ashton Jeanty and I need a placeholder at quarterback for another year and we have to wait on that because this draft is thin, well, at least I can run the football. And I don't know. It seems like for now Antonio Pierce is going to stay and obviously kind of being a defense and running game sort of coach. That's how a lot of defensive coaches are. I think I'm going there. It's wow. Quietly one of the biggest flaws in football, and I know he's been linked to Dallas, and this was just a thought I had watching the Raiders all season, really. I was like, you know, if they don't get a quarterback, they so badly need a running back as much as Dallas does, and we've talked about that, although Rico Dowdle's been better down the stretch. I'm going to go with Ashton Jeanty at 6. We're going to go this high with
him. Wow.
And
you're going to get fired from PFF for doing this.
Probably, but Jinty's a different animal. I'm calling him different. He is a different animal, and I think this is, again, I think the Raiders are the most likely team here, especially with the kind of loose connection to Shadur, that they're going to trade up maybe into that second spot to get in position for a quarterback. But if they don't, I could argue, you know, this coverage, Ben Morrison or Malachi Stark, somebody like that too, that's a huge need. But running back, I mean, it's been bad. It's really, they can't run the ball because they don't have running backs. This is not a case of the offensive line like some other teams.
All right. I think that's a little high for Ashton Jeanty. I don't hate it, though. It's high. It is high. I think it's a little high for a running back in this draft. I will say I kind of sniped you with the Will Johnson pick because the Raiders, 31.9 coverage grade, it's about 17 points lower than anyone else in the NFL this year.
The worst of any team in the last 4 years.
Yeah, I was going to say the last time you had a worse one was the Lions back in 2020 that COVID season. So it is a horrible secondary right now. But Will Johnson's off the board, Travis Hunter's off the board. I just don't know if you get a corner or anyone here that you would really feel comfortable taking here. So Ashton Jeanty goes off the board, number 6 overall to the Raiders. All right, I have a pick here. This was a little hard. I'm going to go with Mason Graham, but I was considering Tedrill McMillan only because if the Rodgers, if he retires or leaves, I think Davante Adams also leaves, and then all of a sudden you have a little bit of a need at wide receiver alongside Garrett Wilson. And I really love the fit of Tet McMillan as your true X receiver, big body guy, and then a guy like Garrett Wilson just gets open, right? I think it's a really, really fun pairing that you have there. But I think Mason Graham's a better football player, and you put him next to Quinnen Williams, and that defensive line would be nasty. So
yeah, the Jets have had a habit of having Quinnen out there on the inside, and then, I mean, they're just rotating through below average. Solomon Thomas, Javon Kinlaw, Leckie Fotu, all sorts of guys on the inside that have their defense. The erosion of their defensive line, yeah, in part because of their Jermaine Johnson injury, would warrant this pick. This is where I would go as well with the Jets because they have to be better up front. It just got torn apart between last offseason and the injury to Johnson and Quinnen getting triple team basically every single play because they have no other threat inside. I would go the same route here with Graham.
Yeah, our friend Donnie in the chat even said, he's like, man, him and Quinnen Williams together might be the best D-tackle pairing in year one. I mean, immediately it could be the best D-tackle pairing in the NFL. So I do love the fit of Tedrill McMillan with the Jets if Davante Adams is indeed out the door, because I think him and Garrett Wilson together, I mean, you got to figure out your quarterback, obviously, but you have those two to throw to, you're going to be living good if you're the Jets quarterback. But I do love Mason Graham and Quinnen Williams together as one. I do think a need for them as well on that interior defensive line. So Mason Graham to the Jets, number 7. You have the Panthers here, number 8.
Ew, this is a decision. This is actually a hard one because it's those top two guys.
Yep. Yeah.
It's those top two guys on the board because on one hand, okay, we drafted Xavier Leggett last year. We do have Jatavion Sanders at tight end. I do like Jalen Coker. He's giving him something. Adam Thielen, I guess, just will never age, and he's going to be solid for them forever. But adding McMillan in the way that Bryce Young is playing lately – oh, is that tempting? It's so tempting. And then you have Abdul Carter one spot below him there. And the Panthers had the worst pass rush in football. They had the worst defense in football by far. So, I mean, I think...
And the perfect Brian Burns replacement, too. Yeah, like, the perfect, yeah.
I mean, they need... I think for the sake of... Well, it would be really fun to just supercharge this offense the way Bryce is playing. Taking McMillan would be fun. But they also want to run the ball and have some balance and things like that, too. They gave up the most points ever in a season this year. I cannot sit here and not go defense here. I think it's Abdul Carter. They had the lowest pass rush grade in the league this year. They had basically the lowest everything in the league this year. Abdul Carter, they need a freak. I know they got some production out of Clowney. Derek Brown's going to be back on the inside next year. Maybe they can buy some pieces at linebacker and safety and things like that. But I'm going to take Abdul Carter. This team, no matter how Bryce Young progresses, they cannot win with their defense this bad. I think this is going to be a serious overhaul of their defense, and I think a guy like Abdul Carter, with the potential that he has, and we're going to hear Micah Parsons comps all offseason, I think it's a good fit. They need a freak like this up front to jumpstart their pass rush.
Damn, you sniped me because I was going to take that for the Saints. That was a home run.
I'm sure
pick.
You were.
Yeah, that was exactly where I was going for New Orleans next. I'm in a pickle right now. I have a couple guys I'm looking at. So I like Will Campbell and play him initially at guard, and then maybe he can move as a tackle for you eventually. But then Tedrick McMillan is still on the board here, and you can add some size to that receiver room that they don't really have. I mean, Marquez Valdes-Scantling is 6'4", but I mean, I don't really know if you want him as like one of your top three options. So I do like having Olave, Rashid Shaheed, and then Tedrick McMillan together. Oh, this is tough. This is really tough. I think this is honestly, this is too low on the board for Tedrick McMillan to go. I'm probably going to take him here at number 9 overall to the Saints. I think
you could reason with it. I mean, I think your other option, Campbell, is a thought. I think if you could put him at guard, at left guard, or if you think it's time to move Penning inside. And I know they spent time with Penning this year at right tackle, and he just, the pass protection is rough with Trevor Penning. Could you put Will Campbell at right tackle and Trevor Penning inside? Because we keep trying to find a spot for Penning. Maybe they don't want to do that. Maybe they want the continuity. But also, we don't even know if Clint Kubiak is going to be there next year and if it's going to be any continuity on the coaching staff. Certainly a new head coach, but we don't know what's up with Kubiak. So it's a tough – I did put you in a tough spot because Carter would have been ideal for this team.
Also, Donnie made a good point in the chat again. Low moving cost for Will Campbell if he gets drafted by the Saints. Doesn't have to move that far.
Oh, true. Good. Right down there, about what? Yeah. 90 miles down the road.
So
maybe
save some money on the moving cost for Will Campbell.
Yeah, I mean, it helps. That's, I guess if that's what teams
also,
take.
For a team as cap strapped as the Saints, they probably needed anything as cheap as
they're
it.
Saving on moving costs. Gee, they're saving on everything. I think either one is a good pick. I think you wouldn't even be shocked to see them reach here with a pass rusher or something like Skorton or Jalen Walker. I mean, I could see it. I think they're another team without their coaching staff in place that we really have no idea. So I get it with Tet, though, because, you know, you can move Olave around the formation. Shaheed, they're both coming off injuries. And Tet, I mean, he's spectacular. If you take the value play here, I don't blame you one bit. He's just terrific.
Screw it. I'm taking Will Campbell. I'll do Will Campbell. I think, obviously, him on that offensive line will be good. You can move on to tackle alongside Talisa Fuanga. Even maybe flip Fuanga back to right tackle if you want to and move Campbell to left tackle.
Could do that too. Fuanga got better down the stretch at that spot, but it was new for him this year. You could do. I think they just need to find five guys who can get it done.
Yeah.
In pass protection. That's really – and in some form or fashion, Will Campbell improves them in pass protection, and that's a big thing.
Yep.
I'm with you on that. All right, the Bears at 10. See, I would have taken Campbell.
I was going to say, as a prime Campbell spot,
that,
yeah.
But I do feel like I have options here, and I don't think with their weaponry, I don't think a receiver.
You
it's
can.
Weird how we have this thing where the receivers are dropping down, but we're kind of getting to teams now where the receivers aren't the biggest priority. I think that's the case with the Bears, too. The Bears have to get better in the trenches. They don't have a choice. If you want to make the playoffs, if you want to be a real team, you have to be better in the trenches. It was my concern coming into the year. Their tackles aren't that bad. Their interior offensive line is rough. There's not a first-round prospect. And then their defensive line, that's where I'm looking at. And I think it's a guy we've kind of pinned for them the entire process here when we've done prior mocks, and I think it still holds. They need to stop the run. They need another edge rusher, a consistent one across from Montez Sweat. I think Nick Skorton's my guy here from A&M.
Okay.
He's a terrific run defender. Work in progress as a pass rusher, but I think the more I've watched Skorton in the last couple of years at Purdue and at A&M, I do see some similarities to Jared Verse. And Jared Verse, I think, is about to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. I think he's got some of the same physical talent and that balance of being able to rush the passer and defend the run. We don't see that often. Even with an Abdul Carter, who you just took earlier, or I took earlier, I lose track of this already, who I just took two picks ago, he's a great pass rusher, possibly elite. And there's still work to do in the run game. Skorton gives you this balance where he can play all three downs. I'm going to go with this for the Bears. Is it the flashiest pick? Maybe not, but they need to get better in the trenches. And at this spot, the way this has fallen, this is their best option.
Okay, I like it. Next pick I have is the 49ers. So I have one that's a little... Some people might consider it a reach, but I don't really know if it is one, honestly. That is Wyatt Milam. I think Milam is absolutely terrific. And now he was awesome this year in terms of pass blocking and run blocking. And also the big thing on why I like this fit for San Francisco, for how much zone scheme they run, Milam was awesome in a zone scheme this year with a 90.7 zone blocking grade, as you can see right there. So I think I'm going to have Wyatt Milam as my OT3 in the draft behind Banks and Campbell. I think I'm going to go with him here to the 49ers here, number 11 overall. This is probably as high as you'll see Milam go in any mock draft, but he was absolutely terrific this year, and he's been terrific for 2 years, honestly, for West Virginia. I think I would go with him here to the 49ers.
Flip him over and put him next to Pooney on the right side?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think right tackle is going to be – I think Cameron Williams would be a very good scheme fit, too, for that. I think Ariante –
Yeah, I considered Williams a lot,
Ariante Ursary moving over to the right side, too, would make a lot of sense. They need somebody at right tackle. Colton McKivitz, it's okay, but you can do a lot better, I think. I think they're another team in the trenches, O-line and D-line. They have to get more depth going, and I think improvement at right tackle would help a lot.
I think is this a spot here for Tet, number 12 overall?
Yeah, I'm going there.
Yeah.
And I think it's for the sake – I know that the Cowboys have issues. The running back thing, although Rico Dowdle was better down the stretch, there's more backs later in the draft, and we didn't get Ashton Gentee. We could go defense here. The front seven, it's rough. But, I mean, then I'm looking at Jalen Walker, who's kind of redundant to Micah Parsons, wouldn't you say? I think he is, I think they're pretty good at corner. I don't need a Ben Morrison. Mikel Williams, maybe, depending on what fronts they're going to be in next year. But I think at this point now – this is the value pick of Tet's too good to pass up. And let's be real. I like what Jalen Tolbert's done. I like what Kevontae Turpin gives them. They don't have a Tetero and McMillan, right?
No.
Brandon Cooks, I don't think for 2 years has given them as much as they thought he would. To have that size element and that X receiver with the way that CeeDee Lamb moves all over the formation and he's in the slot and he's all over the place and sometimes he's even in the backfield and they're handing him the ball. I mean, I think to have Tet with CeeDee and the contrast of their two styles makes Dak Prescott's life a lot easier. I think for him to have two legitimate receivers out there, plus Ferguson, plus Tolbert, plus Turpin, plus maybe we start building this running game, I think it makes a lot of sense. I think Tet, if he were to fall here and they didn't have a shot at Ginty, I would be in on this. Give me Tet as their number two receiver alongside CeeDee Lamb.
I love it. Yeah, I love it. All right, next up I have the Miami Dolphins at number 13 overall.
This is fun. Because there's the obvious thing you can do that's in the needs there with the offensive line. And then we have a development going on from this past weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And if Tyreek Hill's wanting out and starts thinking about getting out.
I think he's getting out. Actually, that's a good call because I was also looking at there's a few options I had here. I was going to go either look at tackle. I was going to look at, obviously, with the whole Tyreek Hill situation, Luther Burden. And also, I don't know if Javon Holland comes back.
That's a good call.
So Malachi Starks is there.
Right there, too. There are all of a sudden, if Hill and Holland, for any reason, are both not around, you have a boatload of options here. You can't fix all your problems in one pick, but there are a lot of options and a lot of talented options at that.
Yeah. Oh, this is tough.
And Burden, I will be honest with you. Burden, you can't replace Tyreek Hill. He's Tyreek Hill, right? But Burden, boy, that fits. That fits. Get the ball in his hands. Get him going after the catch. And we know Miami's got a history of maybe not picking offensive linemen as high as they should. There is a thought. And the Starks thought is a good one, too, because their secondaries really struggled, and they get a lot worse than they already have been if they lose Holland.
Yeah.
It's tough. This is a tough call.
I'm between Burden and Starks right now. I know they need to tackle really badly, but I just think these are two elite prospects you have on the board here, and Malachi Starks and Luther Burden, like two top 10 prospects you can see on the big board right now. Oh, I'm between those two. It's really hard because I'm going to go with Burden. I think – they're probably – Tyreek's gone. I mean, the way he's been talking lately, he's like, dude, there's no way he comes
right
back.
After the game, he said, I'm out.
And the tweeting he's been doing lately is like, dude, what is going on right now? So I'm going to go with Burden because I do think that Mike McDaniel just wants as many weapons as possible in that offense. So him alongside Jalen Waddle and then Malik Washington as well would be good in that offense. But, man, Starks would fit a massive need to if Javon Holland leaves. But also, I feel better about them bringing back Javon Holland than I do about them bringing back Tyreek Hill at this point.
We feel like 99% sure that Hill's gone.
Yeah, the way he's talking is like, I don't know how you bring that guy back right now or how he even wants to come back. So I'm going to go with Luther Burden III, but Malachi Starks would be a home run pick here. And he could be a home run pick here for you at the Colts, number 14.
I love that pick right there. And I think a Shanahan yards after catch heavy offense is exactly where I picture Burden going. I've mentioned to you about the Saints if Clint Kubiak were to stay, or there's some other teams obviously that run that offense set. I think that's where he fits. Get him the ball, let him work after the catch. I've heard Trevor told us he kind of comped him loosely to DJ Moore. I like that a lot. That makes a lot of sense to me. The Colts here, I think you make a good point. Look, their pass defense. Pass rush. Look, I could go pass rusher again, and they did it with Leiatu Latu last year. And coverage all the way around with their pass defense has got to be better. I mean, they 2 weeks ago, they just gave up 45 points to Drew Lock and the Giants.
Yeah.
That's where we got to. And I know, look, they're not going to be fishing for a quarterback. Richardson's going to get one more year to hope that he's healthy and all that. They really don't need receivers. They really don't need offensive linemen. It's a top five offensive line, I'd argue, when they're healthy. They need defense, and I think you just made a good point. You implied it. Malachi Starks, if he were to fall to the Colts here all the way at 14, I think it's a steal. I think Latu was a steal at 15 last year. Did he have more of a decent rookie year than a great one? Yeah, but their whole defense was rough. So I think the hope is Latu gets better. Kwity Paye keeps getting better. Still Buckner inside. We need foundation pieces in the secondary. I'll go with Malachi Starks. I just think Benjamin Morrison would be the other thought here at corner. They need the entire secondary needs to be reworked, the whole thing. Even Kenny Moore is starting to slow down a little bit in the slot. I just need all of it. So, I mean, maybe they figure out corner and free agency. We go corners, you know, it's round two and three. But to get a talent like Starks, who's clearly the best safety in this draft, I think you have to go with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And the whole Ben Morrison thing is so fascinating because that hip injury for a corner is like – that could be – bad, stuff. Really bad. So I think his medicals at the combine and everything is going to be huge for his stock. He's a guy that could go top 15, top 20, or he's a guy that could fall to second, third, maybe even day three of the NFL draft, like if how bad the injury is. So hopefully he's healthy because I think he is an elite, elite talent that I think a lot of people are kind of forgetting about right now in this draft. But the problem is we just have no idea what that medical history and the hip injury for corners, obviously pretty important for him. So, all right, number 15 overall, this is the easiest pick that we always do for the Atlanta Falcons. It's going to be James Pierce Jr. I mean, they have so much of a need at pass rush. And also, James Pierce Jr. got so much better as a run defender this year. I actually might still have James Pierce Jr. as a top 10 player on my own big board. I actually think it's closer for him to Abdul Carter than it is for him to anyone else in this edge class right now. I love James Pierce Jr. I know he's a little bit lower on Trevor's big board right now, but I just love Pierce. And I think a place like Atlanta, that it feels like they haven't had a good pass rush in like a decade, they need a guy like James Pierce Jr., just some juice along the edge. Honestly, Atlanta had the second worst pass rushing grade in the NFL this year. So they need someone like James Pierce Jr. and also like as a stand-up outside linebacker, and Raheem Morris' defense would work really well as well. So I think he was terrific this year. He was terrific last year. He got a lot better as a run defender as well. Pierce is absolutely still a top 10 to 15 pick, in my opinion, and he falls here to number 15 to the Falcons.
It's a great pick. I mean, look, there are some needs that are equal when you talk about Titans and Giants quarterback and Raiders running back and Patriots tackle. There is no need more obvious in the NFL than the Falcons needing to take a pass rusher in this first round. It's no matter who it is, if it's Carter, even if it was Jalen Walker, I could see a case for it. Edge full time. Pierce is also fantastic. Love him. I'm with you. I think he's going top 20. Just have to. It's just some of these teams I could pick apart a road of like, oh, we could go here, and they make our no.
Yeah.
We need pass rushers in Atlanta. And that's every time we mock, we are going to take. We can tell you, we will kill the suspense all the way through April. We will take a pass rusher for the Falcons in every mock draft that we do.
And Jalen Walker's a thought as well. I like Pierce more than Jalen Walker.
I'm right with now. You on Ed Walker. You're going to be – he doesn't play edge full-time right now. He's kind of what Abdul Carter was last year, right? All the full-time edge rusher in theory, and we can mess around with it. But, no, I think we are going to take a pass rusher every single time we mock the Falcons.
Yep.
This is we can promise you that right now, January 7th, all the way through April. That's what we're going to do. All right, Cardinals.
Noted diehard Cardinals fan of the chat, Donnie, is saying, please just mess this up, Dalton. So a lot of pressure on you for this pick right now.
He could have gave me details on how not to. This is a team where there's options. I think I like the way their secondary is starting to come together. There isn't a first round. I would like a linebacker. There isn't a first round linebacker here. And first, Jalen Walker's listed as one, but we're kind of projecting.
He's an edge.
He's moving to the edge. His best trait is his blitzing. Which, you know, again, like Abdul Carter, right tackle is a thought. If I took a Josh Simmons or an Ursary or even a Cameron Williams.
Yeah, the board fell right for you here a little bit there.
It did. I have a lot of options. I don't even hate the idea. I think they could use another weapon. I don't even hate the idea of Emeka Ebuka going. And do I like Michael Wilson? Yeah. Do I like Greg Dortch? But I don't hate it. Like
repair him with, bring him back with Marvin Harrison Jr. The two teammates.
I didn't even think of that. But I mean Harrison and Ebuka again. It worked the first time. I mean until the Michigan game. But you know, I don't hate. There's this. So like the last pick you just had. There's one road here. This is what we're doing. We're taking a pass rusher. I think there's several different roads, but I think I think they still need to get better on defense. I think they can figure it out. Harrison's going to get better. Trey McBride's elite. I think their offensive line with Paris Johnson healthy is coming together. Still need to work on the right side a little bit. I get it. I think I'll take Jalen Walker here.
Okay.
And I think, and we're used to the Cardinals taking versatile pieces, and we're certainly used to Jonathan Gannon when he used to be with the Eagles taking Georgia Bulldogs on defense. We know that. I think we'll go here. We're going to get them a potentially elite pass rusher. They need help off the edge. They're going to hope Darius Robinson's healthy to help the interior next year. He only played, I think, 4 or 5 games this year. I think beefing up this front seven in this draft is going to be a big thing. I'll go with Jalen Walker, and they're trying to find a primetime edge rusher.
Donnie says, love it. Dalton's a ball knower, so he likes the pick. There we go.
Jonathan Gannon, anyone associated with the Eagles or used to be, they're going to take Georgia Bulldogs. That's just where
And I'm also, the Cardinals have a type at edge defender because Dalton, Zaven Collins, college linebacker, NFL edge rusher. Baron Browning, college linebacker, NFL edge rusher. Jalen Walker, college linebacker, NFL edge rusher. Julian Aquara, I believe, he played on the edge at Notre Dame. So that was a true edge. But their other two ones they have right now, and Zaven Collins and Baron Browning, also played linebacker in college, moved to edge in the NFL.
Fit right in.
They have a type at edge rusher.
They know what
clearly.
They want, and that's good to know.
Clearly they have a type. All right, my next pick is actually the Bengals number 17, which will be made by our producer, Eli, diehard Bengals fan. Eli, who are you going with here at number 17?
Take Tyler Warren.
Can you guys hear me?
There we go.
There we go.
I'm going to take a look at the analysis first. Oh my gosh. There's a lot of wide receivers, which I don't think is going to happen. Well, I think the Bengals Higgins are going to take T. Higgins. And they're going to give him a bigger deal. With how vocal Burrow's been about it, would be a little shocked if that's not the case. I think you have to go defense here. Scorton's a guy I really like. Don't think he's going to be there. You guys have kind of infiltrated me with Michael Williams slander. So he's not a guy that I'm really looking at here. Kenneth Grant is kind of the guy I see a lot of Bengals fans mock. I think he's a good fit. We need just bodies on the defensive line. I think he's a guy who can do the best of both worlds, if we're being honest.
Mm-hmm.
Especially that run defense grade kind of gives me that DJ Reader role that I really feel like they need. And I think Kenneth Grant's a run the card in kind of guy for me.
Yeah. All right. Love it. Kenneth Grant going to Cincinnati, number 17 overall. I like that a lot.
I love right there when he said, we kind of need bodies, so he picks the absolute biggest one on the board with Kenneth Grant. Love that. It's like, okay, we need a body, so we'll go 6'4 and 340, and that'll do it. Absolutely. And the DJ Reader, to replace Reader after losing him this year and seeing where your run defense went, that's the best point of all of it. Like, we have to stop the run between the tackles for this team.
The chat loves that pick. Duncan, our guy who's a big Bengals fan, loves it. Elias made a good pick right there. Also, Dalton didn't do it with Emeka Ebuka going to the Cardinals, but you get Chris Jenkins Jr. and Kenneth Graham back together in Cincinnati too. So,
Natty.
There you go.
They're talked. Natty.
Yeah.
All right. Natty together.
You're up here at number 18, Dalton, with the last team that did not make the playoffs, the Seattle Seahawks, just missed out. Who are they taking here?
This is tough. because I really so badly need interior offensive linemen. Is there, I'm going to ask you this because you've dug in on the O-linemen so far a little more than I have. I was watching receivers all week. Is there a world where Simmons or Ursary can play guard?
Yeah, I think they can.
Is there one, or even, I know even Cameron Williams too, some people have talked about that. Is there a world where any of those guys can play guard and I have a shot at like a Pro Bowl guard?
I think so. I think both of them you could play a guard.
Maybe too much, and now I don't know where this offense is going because they, to my surprise, they fired Ryan Grubb as their offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
So I don't know what offense they're running next year. And
also, any college should be sprinting to get, like even Kalen DeBoer at Alabama should be like, hey, come back.
Oh, he probably will. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would think.
Like,
yeah.
I would hire that guy in a heartbeat.
Absolutely.
In college, yeah.
I don't know what's going on in Seattle, but all I know is they don't have Ryan Grubb. I don't know what kind of offense they're running, but I do know, no matter who their coach is, they need interior in the worst way, and they have Cross and Lucas at tackles. So my problem is if I take one of these tackles, I know they're not playing tackle. So is there one of these guys, like, could I put Cameron Williams at right guard and feel really good about that? I know he's a great run blocker.
I think you can.
We're going to run zone schemes. Like, that's my thought now because, you know, maybe I could think about Ibuka thinking maybe Tyler Lockett's on the way out. Tight end, I think they're pretty set with. They played an edge rusher, but I don't think there's a pure pass rushing edge. Like, I wouldn't take Mykel Williams. I think that's redundant to Leonard Williams. I do. I wouldn't take – I don't know if I'm that high on Shamar Stewart, right? Like – I really think I feel like I have to take one of these offensive – of those three guys, I'm going to defer to you. Like I said, you've watched them a little more recently and really dug in. Which of those three guys would you feel most comfortable with if I wanted to start him at right guard?
Probably Ursary.
In September. You think Ursary?
Yeah, I think he can play. He's bigger than Josh Simmons, which is why a lot of people think he's going to stick a tackle, but I think Ursary could be a dominant guard.
His upper body strength is nasty.
Yeah.
I know all three of them are good zone blockers, especially Ursary and Williams. I could be in on this. If we think Ursary is the best guard, I'm like obsessed with Seattle's interior offensive line problems. It's crazy how it just completely collapsed.
Well, also the Abraham Lucas doesn't have like a chronic knee injury, right? So like that could be an issue long term. Like you could maybe make a guy that could play tackle for you long term too.
So we're just building offensive line depth, and at some point we're gonna go best five guys.
Yeah.
Whoever they are. All right, I'm going Ariante Ursary here. That's because I just cannot. It hurt me to watch Seattle's interior play the last four or five games. It, like, hurt my eyeballs. It was unreal. It was the reason they missed the playoffs, honestly.
All right. I have Houston here at number 19 overall. I think I'm going to have the same thought process as you. I think I'm going to go with a tackle and just hope that one of them can play guard here. So then now you got the issue between Josh Simmons and Cameron Williams. I think I'm going to like Josh Simmons more as a pure pass blocker for Houston. Can you remind me, what does Houston run like a lot in their run scheme? Is it a lot of gap stuff or zone stuff? Or
I think,
like, what does Bobby Slowick do?
It's weird because last year they ran more zone. It was Shanahan-ish. And this year they've kind of gotten away from it because the interior same problem is they've tried everything this year and they just can't make it happen. And even in pass protection, I think you're along the same lines. What I would do is pick the better pass protector. We need to protect C.J. Stroud. That's where we're at. And if that means one of these guys moves inside and does it, or even because you know what we've seen too is you might put one of them at right tackle. We've seen some snaps recently where Titus Howard has moved inside to guard to try to help inside at left guard. Maybe actually this is a better shot, I think, where one of these guys could move over and play right tackle. We leave Howard inside. We got to figure out one other guard spot, maybe center. I think you have more flexibility here, actually, with this.
Yeah, I think Josh Simmons then will be the pick because you're right. Protecting C.J. Stroud has got to be the number one priority. Not, I know the run game needs a lot of work. Obviously, they could probably take a running back later on in the draft as well. But Josh Simmons, I think, is a better pass protector than Cameron Williams, who Dinah made a good point, a little bit of a project right now at offensive tackle. I think Simmons is more of a finished product. So I think he would be a great pick here at number 19 for the Texans. So go Josh Simmons to tackle from Ohio State.
That's a really good call. I like that a lot. Ooh, we got some thoughts here. We got some thoughts here with Denver.
Ooh.
There's
I feel like you got to go weapon, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, that'd be a receiver or tight end.
That's the thing,
right?
But you know what? I can't hate the way the receiving core has developed this year. You look at Cortland Sutton, right? Devon Vele, what is he, a 27-year-old rookie? Is that right, out of Utah?
Yep.
He's given him good production. Marvin Mims is coming on the second half of the year. We still have Troy Franklin kind of waiting in the wings. You know, I know he struggled this year, but, you know, we could develop him even if he's the fourth guy. That's not a bad mix. I look at these tight ends, and I start wondering, like, who's the best fit here? Who's it going to be? Is it, because there's two guys we're looking at, right? It's Loveland, who I think maybe is thought of as a little more traditional, but he can get out in the slot. And he was still somehow with Michigan's quarterback situation, still really productive this year. And I think him and – I mean, they both of them just move different than the rest of the tight ends. Or is it Tyler Warren, who's just been an absolute freak of nature all year for Penn State?
Mm-hmm.
A wildcat quarterback, even running the ball yards after catch. So it maybe depends on what type of guy Sean Payton wants to prioritize, but I think it's down to those two guys. And I'm trying to figure out in my head which one of them would fit Payton's offense better, although he might just think one of them's the better player and go with it. This is really tough because they're both – I mean, they're just fantastic football
players. I'll tell you right now, I'm taking whoever you don't take at number 21.
I don't blame you one bit.
Yeah, I'm taking whatever tight end you do not take. I'm going. I think we're going to have back-to-back tight ends here at 20 and 21.
Love it. I'm going to go with Loveland.
Okay.
I think it's a little more traditional. It's a little more along the lines of what Sean Payton is used to. And I think you taking Warren here at 21, in the Bucs offense, I kind of want to see it with Warren in Tampa, because I think the idea of all their motion, and even you don't have to get rid of Cade Otten or even Payne Durham here, because Otten's a little more traditional. Warren, in that offense, I don't even think I would define him as a tight end. He's just a weapon. He's just going to be all over the place. And that's an offense, too. We'll see if they hang on to Liam Cohen or if he's getting a head coaching job. As much as any offense in football, the Bucs offense stresses yards after catch.
Yep.
It's Tyler Warren.
Yeah.
There's part of me that took Loveland because I wanted to see.
Yeah.
I kind of want to see a little
Warren teamwork in Tampa. Right there. Yeah.
Yeah. Warren and Baker Mayfield on the same team is just, that's,
yeah.
That's so much fun.
I just think Liam Cohen, if he stays in Tampa Bay, because obviously he could be a very good head coach candidate this offseason, but if he stays, he would have a lot of fun with a guy like Tyler Warren in his offense.
Oh,
honestly.
The amount of motion and all of the nonsense.
It'd be stupid. Yeah. It'd be so much fun.
Just first of all, before even we get all the fun, look at how much talent.
Yeah.
Evans, McMillan, maybe they keep Godwin. Trevor tells us that he's really thinking they're going to keep Godwin. Bucky and Rashad White in the back.
Yeah.
Tyler Warden, Cade Otten. I mean, we just don't run out of guys.
And they're building up that offensive line. Graham Barton, Tristan Wirfs, obviously.
Cody Mauch's playing a lot better second. I mean,
that offense is disgusting.
All of a sudden, that's a house.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a very underrated offense still. You add Tyler Warren to it, it's going to get people's attention.
Oh, Pittsburgh here at 22. I think you're probably between the top two guys on the board,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
It's a question, though, of which one, because –
Well, their corners lately have been like the worst corner unit in football the second half of the year. And their offense at receiver is just go balls to George Pickens. And I need to diversify. I actually think I'm leaning towards Ibuka. At least I have Joey Porter,
yes,
who just needs to make better plays on the ball, and he's pretty good. And I can find at least decent corners, I think. And our pass rush is great. And Pittsburgh can manufacture that with pressure and all that stuff. They need to find a number two corner. Fine. Find it somewhere.
Yep.
Get it in the second round. I don't care. Get Siobhan Revelle or something in the second round maybe. But I think to take a guy like Ibuka who can actually diversify your offense as opposed to we just drop back and chuck jump balls to George Pickens and Mike Williams. I mean, it is – their passing game as the season has gone on has just gotten plain as all hell. This is where we're at now, is we just chuck go balls outside the numbers. So Ibuka, one of the smoothest route runners in the draft. I love his concentration in tight spaces. And I think it just adds a different element that they don't have. So I'm going to go with Ibuka at 22. Now, again, you're the Steelers fan. You're the Steelers fan between the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
Where would you go? Because I know traditionally they're about defense. And also – as far as taking a receiver, is taking a receiver even smart given our quarterback situation? Because we have no idea. And Russ has struggled down the stretch here in part because of the offense the way it is.
Do you think they're going to keep Russ? I'm torn right now.
The way the last 4 weeks have gone, I honestly have no idea.
Like 4 weeks ago, a month ago, I would have been like, oh, they're absolutely keeping him. He'll be the guy next year. And now I'm like, I don't know what they're going to do at quarterback.
And then there's the Justin Fields thing too, where it's like, well, they believe he's good, but not that good, not good enough to start. And it's really tough. And the problem is this would be a spot with a playoff draft pick where we're talking about, okay, in a normal year of quarterbacks where it's not two guys and then this.
Yeah.
Where we could take a developmental guy. We could take a guy who, you know, we have to work through some – like if Drew Aller was in this draft, that's another one. And I'm sure is your dream spot here.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah.
If Drew Aller was in this draft, we'd be sitting here talking about, okay, Pittsburgh could take Drew Aller. And either you could sign Russ for another year and bring him along slowly or do a progress however Mike Tomlin wants to. But it's the hardest offense to figure out right now because they have issues at offensive tackle. I probably could have thought about taking Cameron Williams, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not going to quit on Broderick Jones yet.
No.
And Faiutanu only played one game this year.
Yeah.
Because of injury. So it's like I have issues on the O-line, but there's solutions, but I don't know if they're good solutions. I have nothing at receiver outside of Pickens.
I like your point about Emeka Egbuka bringing a different element because, like I said, it's so much go balls right now, and I know that's what Russell Wilson does best is throw the moon ball. Like, but
I just need a route runner.
But
I
you need someone there.
I just need someone who can run routes.
No, I think Egbuka would be the pick I made if I had the 22nd overall pick.
So that makes Morrison would make sense too. They need corners in the worst way also.
And Morrison makes a lot of sense here at number 23 overall, which is why I'm going to take him here to the Los Angeles Rams. Again, the hip injury is worrisome. His medicals are going to be massive when that happens at the combine. But if it all checks out and he's all right, he is a guy that I would take easily in the top 15 to 20 picks of this draft. Like, he really, before the season, he was talked about him or Will Johnson for CB1 in the NFL draft. And it was actually a debate for some people as to who actually was CB1. Obviously, with Morrison's hip injury, a lot of people kind of just forgot about him and Travis Hunter being a superstar. You know, he kind of fallen into the shuffle a little bit into the cornerback class, but I still love Benjamin Morrison. And if he's a guy, if like I said, if his hip surgery and his hip injury checks out and he's going to be all right, it's not going to be a long-term problem, I would absolutely take him in the top 20 picks here. So I think Los Angeles, who needs a corner, this is a kind of a sprint the card in if it checks out medically for him.
I'm in on that. I think they've gotten such great production of them from the middle of their defense, especially the rookie class for the Rams, especially in defense, is insane. Jared Verse, Braden Fisk, Omar Spates, an undrafted guy at linebacker, is going to be a starter for them next year. And Cam Kitchens at safety has been really good along with Cam Curl back there. Corner, yeah, I'm with you on this. I think Morrison's a great pick. Again, you mentioned it, the medicals have to check out. We have to know he's great long-term. But I'll tell you what, I think there's a lot of similarities between Morrison and Kamari Lassiter from last year. Just pure cover corners. And Lassiter's been fantastic for the Texans on the outside this year. I think Morrison, I think an infusion of talent like that for them on a defense that's already developing, I think is a fantastic.
Yeah, and they've missed, I mean, since they lost Jalen Ramsey, they've missed a lockdown guy.
So they
need a guy like Benjamin Morrison, who I think would have been a great fit here for Green Bay, because isn't there a lot of rumors that Jair Alexander might not be staying in Green Bay too long, right?
Right. I mean, the injuries have been a problem. He's still good when he's healthy, but he's never healthy.
Even if he keeps him, like, he still needs someone opposite of him, too.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's the Eric Stokes pick hasn't worked out all that great. Green Bay's got more issues than you might think. I know they've made the playoffs and they're in this spot and they went, 10-7? I think they won 10 games this year. And I just, there's several spots in this team. I look at corner, they need another corner. They need a pass rusher too.
Yeah.
They need a pass rusher. And my problem is I'm looking at a guy like Mykel Williams, who's more of a run defender than a pass rusher. Shamar Stewart, kind of the same way. Tyleek on the inside, same thing. Like, I feel like if I'm going pass rusher, I kind of have to reach a little bit.
Yeah.
If there was a guy like a Prince Amon-Miellon or maybe a JT Tuimoloau, who I feel like, okay, that's a pass rusher so good that the Packers have to take him here. But there's also some issues on the inside. I mean, I'm on both sides of the line of scrimmage. Jordan Morgan, if I could take an interior offensive lineman, I would. There's also the old theory. Now, I wouldn't move Zach Tom off a right tackle. I wouldn't do it. There are people in the building who think he would be a quote-unquote Hall of Fame center. If you do that, you could take a right tackle like a Cameron Williams. But I wouldn't move Tom. I just wouldn't do it. He's a monstrous right tackle. He's incredible. I also have a thought about taking a receiver.
Mm.
I don't like where this has gone with their passing game. And I know Matt LaFleur was like sick of hearing about we don't have a number one receiver and this and that. I like Jaden Reed. This is tough.
And Christian Watson's tore his ACL too.
Christian
right?
Watson just tore his ACL.
Yeah.
You're not, and it's January, and you're not going to see him till at least November at the earliest, and he's had so many. I can't count on Christian Watt. There is a big tell me what you think of this. There's a big thought here for me to take an Elikai Mainer.
Yeah.
Because I think Dobbs is just decent. Reed is a solid slot guy, but he can't beat man coverage. He tears up zone. I like all the things he can do in their offense, but there's a real thought to me about taking Elikai Mainer and going, this is a guy who I think could win one-on-one on the outside, and we are at least set. And I just can't rely on Christian Watson. And Dontayvion Wicks, he drops the ball too much.
Yeah.
It's those two guys, it's a struggle for me right now because they need help in the trenches. The Packers are a little more flawed than we thought they were coming into the year. I'm gonna take my idea and run with it because I've been thinking about it all week. I'm gonna go with Ian Mainer.
All right.
I'm gonna take a receiver and go outside threat. I need somebody who can win one on one. You saw it happen against Syracuse earlier this year. He can do it. I mean, I had to bring it up, but it's just the thought when I watched them lose to the Vikings last week. I'm sitting there. I'm like, they can't get open. They can't get open, and Jordan Love is struggling because of it.
Yeah.
There's multiple reasons he's struggling, but that's one of them. They can't beat man coverage. I'm going to take Ian Mainer as a guy who maybe could do that.
I love it. All right. Yeah, Don made a good point. They never take receivers in the first round, but at some point, you got to do it. I mean, at some point,
true.
It's like...
Maybe I'm manifesting it for you. I'm breaking tradition here to try to just finally, maybe one of these times, they'll do it.
Don't make the same mistake with Jordan Love that you did with Aaron Rodgers. You just never take a receiver, and obviously, you left almost because of that, and... Yeah, let's see. Let's try to get someone in there for Green Bay, even though they have, I think, an underrated receiving core. But just like I said, it's a lot of just like good number two, number three options. It's not like a true number one. So we'll see if Ayamata could be that for them. But all right, I have Los Angeles here with the tight ends off the board. I'm kind of looking at the defensive line right now, whether that be D tackle or edge defender. It's kind of tough for me because I don't love Mykal Williams. I'll be honest. Walter Nolan is a guy that I like a lot. I think they're kind of just looking for more pass rushers, though.
They're really good in run defense.
Yeah.
They're really, really good. And we've got Bosa, who isn't quite what he used to be, and Khalil Mack's not getting any younger, even though he's been fantastic this year. I mean, if I hadn't taken Ian Mainer, that would be an option here, too.
Yeah.
Another weapon. Or, boy, if Colson Loveland was on the board, we already know. So we already know where that's going.
You know what I'm going to do? I think I'm going to go with Princely Amon-Miellen, the edge defender from Ole Miss.
I dig it.
He is terrific pass rusher, good run defender as well. Was good at Florida, but he took it to a whole new level in his only year at Ole Miss this year. And then you have an edge room in Los Angeles. This is getting old, honestly. Khalil Mack is still playing really good football, but he's, what, 30, almost 34 years old now. Joey Bosa, I mean, injuries have kind of killed him recently. He's almost 30 years old as well. Just got to get younger in that edge room and get a guy like Princely Amon-Miellen who can develop behind those two guys and learn, you know, some of the tricks of the trade there. But I think he's a guy that you'd want as like one of your future pass rushers there. And like I said, still a good edge room because Khalil Mack is just the ageless wonder. But at some point, I mean, he's almost 34 years old. He's going to slow down at some point. I think getting a guy like Princely Amon-Miellen there would be a smart thing to do for him, Jim Harbaugh.
I like that a lot. I do. I think even if he doesn't, you can picture a future, even long term, when Mack is gone and Bosa, they're eventually out of that contract, where the two starting edges are Princely and Tuipulotu, who's just been spectacular his first 2 years in the league. You could picture that as their two edge guys, and they always find defensive tackles under Harbaugh. I think that's a really good pick. I do think he's a guy who maybe is outside of a lot of top 32s right now that could end up getting in the first round because he's got everything you want in a pass rush. He's shown it for 3 years.
Yep.
Commanders here at 26. Actually, I think this is pretty easy for me, and I look at an offensive line that's really struggled down the stretch this season. I don't hate what Brandon Coleman's done at left tackle, so I can live with that. I think, though, they want to run the ball. They want to be balanced, and obviously they need to protect Jaden Daniels so he's not running around every single play. I think I'm in on Cameron Williams here at right tackle.
Yeah.
And look, Andrew Wiley has done a decent job, you know, Cornelius Lucas a little bit. These guys are band-aids, right? And these are veteran band-aids who we signed a lot of band-aids on this Commanders team, and we found a way to make the playoffs because of Jaden Daniels. You have to build this thing around them, protect them, and again, they want to run the ball. The biggest thing about this Commanders team is they have balance. And they're dynamic running the football with Daniels at the helm of it all. But I like Cameron Williams, plug and play, dynamic run blocker, will get better as a pass protector. Put him in at right tackle and let it ride.
Yep. Love it. All right, Cameron Williams goes to 26 to the Commanders. I have the Ravens staying in the DMV area here at number 27 overall. So help me out a little bit, Dalton, because obviously you watch a lot more NFL tape than I do. What do they run a lot of man coverage in Baltimore, or is it more of a zone-heavy scheme? Because I'm either going to take Siobhan Revelle or Jahdae Barron, depending on your answer here.
So I think this is a spot where you might be able to go with either, because here's what's happened with the Ravens defense. They messed around, like, running way too many different schemes earlier in the year, and we've all heard about them moving the second half of the year, Kyle Hamlin into free safety. And they've gone a lot more single high with that structure. If they do keep that, I could see the thought of Revelle. And he is kind of similar, actually, to Nate Wiggins, I would say. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's as skinny as Wiggins was when he came out. But where you have kind of like – they've gone to a much more streamlined approach of Hamilton back or Washington – Darius Washington back and floating – both of them kind of floating back there more traditionally. And Marlon Humphrey's been playing in the slot full-time lately. So – if you're talking about an outside corner, you're improving maybe upon Brandon Stevens on the outside. The way they've been running their defense lately, it's probably Siobhan Revelle. Whether they keep that structure going into next year, I don't know, because we all know we love seeing Kyle Hamilton float around in the boxes, slot, and doing all the nickel things too. So it is kind of the luxury of having Kyle Hamilton, is you can do whatever you want. And you could take either guy. If you took Jahdae Barron here, if the Ravens were to take a Jahdae Barron here, they could go, okay, let's get back to running a little 3-4, and he can do, and not that, I mean, Barron's down. And also, if you want, is let's say you take Barron. He's been playing the nickel a good amount lately, right, inside. Mm-hmm. We move Marlon Humphrey back outside. We put Barron inside. We can start, I think for this, between those two guys or any of the corners you could think about, you could just take the guy that you think is the best, and they will make it fit because they have movable pieces.
I'm going Jahdae Barron then, because I'm going to like him more than Siobhan Revelle, I think. And also, I like that point you made where your entire secondary could basically just be movable chess pieces. Yeah. Where you have Jahdae Barron, who can move all. He played safety a little bit before he moved on to corner, played nickel corner as well. Kyle Hamilton could play literally everywhere. Like I said, Marlon Humphrey could play on the outside or in the slot. You just got movable chess pieces all over that defense, over that secondary for Baltimore. I love that. I think Jahdae Barron, they're kind of football players. He's a great run defender as well. I think he'll, like I said, I think Revelle fits what they're doing with their defense right now, like you said, which is playing Hamilton back at free safety and then having Wiggins on one side, Revelle on the other side, which is good because it's actually working for them right now. Whereas before, you know, they're kind of struggling in terms of their secondary, but now it's working, so Revelle would fit that. But if you want to get more versatile in your secondary, which I think is what they've been doing with all the guys they've been taking, I think Jahdae Barron fits that perfectly. And I think I'm going to have Barron higher on my big board than Revelle. I think he's the best corner in college football this year. He has been terrific. So I would take him here at 27.
There is value in versatility. Yeah. Big time value in versatility. And I think Barron lately, from what I've seen of him playing inside in the slot, I think it gives you so many options. Because Marlon Humphrey's not actually a natural slot corner, but he's doing it right now because that's what they need, and they need Wiggins and Stevens on the outside. So I think Barron gives you options, and I like that a lot for that secondary. I'll be honest here. I know the Vikings, they have some needs. They need talent at corner. Revelle would be a very Brian Flores pick here. But I keep looking at this Vikings pick, especially if they're picking this late. And I know Aaron Jones has been good for them this year. But he's also, is he 30 years old? I think he is. 29 or 30, somewhere in there.
Yeah, let me check. But yeah, I think he's a little older.
I like the idea in this offense of having a workhorse back. And I think we agree that Amarion Hampton is the second best back in this class. Just yards after contact, monster. Blazing speed at, what is he, 220?
Yeah, 225, yeah.
That's silly how fast he is at 225. I think Hampton's an absolute horse. I think it's a good fit. It's a good fit for the Vikings, who do. Kevin O'Connell wants balance in his offense, and I think he's gotten a reasonable amount of it this year. Aaron Jones has been good, but I think to bring in a young horse like Amarion Hampton, I'm in on it for Minnesota. I want to see them continue to have that balance. Whether Darnold or McCarthy or whoever is their quarterback next year and beyond, they want to be able to run the football. Kevin O'Connell, coming up under Sean McVay, understands the value of having balance. And with Hampton, I think he can have that long term.
And to answer your question, Aaron Jones turned 30 years old a month ago. So happy birthday to him. But yep, yeah.
There we go.
So yeah. I like that. Yeah. To Marion Hampton to the Vikings there at 28 overall. All right, I have the Buffalo Bills here at number 29 overall. I think they just got to attack the defensive line somewhere. So
there's a clear – to me, there's a clear one here. Well, actually, no, one of two guys, because I know you really like one of them. It's one of two guys for
me. Is it one of them Walter Nolan?
Yes.
And the other one, Deion Walker?
No, the other one's Tyreek Williams.
Yeah.
I need to stop the run in Buffalo. I am so afraid in these playoffs – when they have to play Baltimore, I don't know what the answer is. I have no idea.
So okay, I'll go into a little bit of my process right here. I agree with you. I think run defending is huge. So I'll cross off Deion Walker, but I do think I've been studying D tackles a little bit recently. There's a chance I still have Deion Walker DT3 behind Graham and Grant. I might still have Deion Walker.
I could see it. The potential's freaky.
So
he's. There's times I watch him, I go, oh, that's Chris Jones. And remember, Chris Jones dropped this second.
Yes, but I think you make a good point there. They really need help in the run defense. Deion Walker was kind of an average run defender this year for Kentucky, so I don't think this fit, even though I think he's better as a prospect than a Tyreek Williams or Walter Nolan. I don't love the fit in Buffalo. So I'll pass on Deion Walker, even though he might be my number one D-tackle on the board here. I'll go with Walter Nolan. I think I'm going to have Walter Nolan higher than Tyreek Williams on my board. I think they're both really good run defenders. Nolan brings an element as a pass rusher that I don't think Tyreek Williams brings right now. He was amazing this year at Ole Miss, transferred over from Texas A&M. He was the number one overall recruit in the country coming out of high school. He was number one. Travis Hunter was number two. That just shows you kind of how freaky Walter Nolan is as an athlete, because really those recruiting rankings are based off really just athleticism, really. So he's a really good athlete. Really broke out this year at Ole Miss as a run defender and as a pass rusher. I think I'll have Walter Nolan higher my big board. I haven't really studied Tyreek just yet because I'm waiting for his season to be over before I dive in, but I'm probably going to have Walter Nolan higher my big board than Tyreek Williams. I'm going to go with him here at number 29.
Yeah, no, I get it. Absolutely. It's either way, the theme is first and foremost, they have to stop the run, right? That's the big thing. Between D-tackle and later on, if we were to do multiple rounds in this draft, they just don't. It's D tackle and linebacker for me for Buffalo. That's just where it's at with that.
Are you gonna do the Philadelphia Eagles pick that we always do? Another Georgia Bulldog getting him in there.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning there. Because if there is a soft earth spot on the Eagles defense, which I think right now is the best defense in football front to back, you can run on him a little bit. Jalen Carter's actually struggled a little bit against the run. He's a great dynamic pass rusher, but I think, you know, we got Brandon Graham. Did Brandon Graham, after the injury, is he retiring now? Is he done?
Yeah, I think he's done.
So
yeah.
There's that. The Bryce Huff move just did not work.
Yeah. Nolan Smith's playing well, but yeah.
Is playing well, but I think Nolan Smith in a versatile pass rush / dropping into coverage role is great. They really need – this is a spot where Mikel Williams would actually fit, not just because of
the Georgia Bulldog.
Howie Roseman and every Georgia Bulldog that's ever played under Kirby Smart. But, no, I think the first thing that sticks out, and he needs to develop as a pass rusher, the pass rush win rates, I think they hover around 10, 11%. That's not great. Not the most natural pass rusher, but he is versatile. I think possibly a better version of what we saw from Darius Robinson last year, who I thought was more of a second-round guy. He ended up going 28th to the Cardinals. Mikel's more athletic than Darius. Early down run stopper, I think there's no question he can be that right now in the NFL, without question. The pass rush and late down and kind of some of the questions about that, we will see. And we'll see how explosive he can be as a pass rusher. There are flashes. It's not consistent. But I do like the idea of the Eagles getting an early down run stopper with Mikel Williams in that spot to really kind of fill out that edge group a little bit. I think Josh Sweat's a free agent as well, I want to say, and they have to work on either.
I think so. I think you're right.
Figuring that out. You can see that edge group getting kind of thin real quick there. But if they have Mikel, and it's either an inside-outside sort of situation with him where we move him around, and then we have Nolan Smith and Jalen Carter and every Georgia Bulldog you could ever think of, and N'Kobe Dean behind him and whoever else is on that team because they have so many of them. I mean, Kirby Smart. You think at this point, do we just call them the Georgia Eagles or the Philadelphia Bulldogs?
Man, if you're gonna helmet scout, there are worse schools to helmet scout than Georgia.
Oh, especially on defense.
Yeah, he's picking the right school to pick a lot of players from there. I'll tell you that much. I like it. Yeah, Mikel Williams to the Philadelphia Eagles, another Georgia Bulldog there at number 30 overall. This one's kind of tough for Kansas City here at 31 because I would love to get. obviously, if any of the tight ends fell, it would have been beautiful. But I would love to also get like a really good offensive lineman to help out in that offensive line, because I just think they need more. I know they drafted Kingsley Sumatia, but they need more in that offensive line. I don't think I would take a running back here, especially with Marvin Hampton off the board. Am I crazy for wanting to go edge here? I think they need help in that edge.
No, I don't. I don't think you're crazy for that. I my thought here was just because of the fun comp that I keep throwing it to. Is this your Deion Walker spot?
Ooh.
I mean,
get him next to Chris Jones.
I get what you're getting at, because the Chiefs' defensive line is basically Chris Jones and George Karloftis.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So I think at either spot, even if you took, say, a Tyreek Williams here, I'd go, yeah, sure, I could see that. Why not? I mean, I think getting just more depth in the trenches is likely the theme here for the Chiefs, unless maybe trade-up scenarios is something we get crazier into the offseason. If we think or find out that this is Travis Kelce's last ride, then we start thinking about a Tyler Warren maybe or a Colson Love, even though I know they have Noah Gray and they drafted Jared Wiley last year. But to get an elite talent like that would be fun coming right off it. But no, I think you're right. Defensive line depth, that's where we're at. They just don't have a ton of it beyond Jones and Karloftis. And Chris Jones, eventually, I don't know when, eventually Chris Jones is going to – oh, he's still only 30 years old. What the hell?
Yeah.
I thought he was older. Crazy. I thought he was older than that. I swear to you now, I thought Chris Jones, I was about to be like, oh, he's like 34. No, he's still only 30.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're good on Chris Jones. He got another 10 years left.
I think I'm going to pass on Walker here. I'm going to go with Mike Green, I think. Mike Green.
Ooh, we're going to Marshall.
I love him. Dude, he was amazing last year, 90.4 grade, 91.9 grade this year. I mean, you look at those percentiles right there in terms of what he's been doing this year. He's at the top of basically everything. Now, of course, there's the caveat of it's against Marshall, it's against Sun Belt competition. But at the same time, Mike Green, I think he's a really good athlete, has been terrific as a run defender and pass rusher throughout his career at Marshall. I think I'm going to go with him here to Kansas City and just add another edge rusher. Because, like, the Felix Anadike-Uzomah thing has not really worked out for them in Kansas City. I know they spent a first-round pick on him. Karloftis is good. I don't think he's, like, a terrific guy or anything like that. Mike Dana is whatever. Josh Uche is whatever. I mean, they need more in that edge room. I'm going to go with Mike Green here to Kansas City.
Sun Belt champion Mike Green, right? Marshall won the Sun Belt?
Yeah.
He did. Yeah. Wow. What a year.
You've been terrific.
We got to go. We got an edge rusher from Marshall going first round.
Hell yeah, dude.
That
love
be
it.
Fun?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Detroit Lions sitting at 32. We'll see if they're sitting at 32 the way their defense played the other night. They might be. Jeez, Aaron Glenn props. Either way, I think there's an obvious need, and I think you could argue secondary. I think the way Jameson Williams has played at receiver, I'm kind of leaning off receiver, the receiver idea for the Lions, because Jameson's been awesome this year. We need somebody across from Aiden Hutchinson. We know that long.
Are you going to do it?
Of course I'm going to
do it. Do it.
Of course I'm going to do it. Of course I'm going to do it. The guy, the same guy the whole time that I think is the Detroit Lions, Detroit Lion, I have to go with Jack Sawyer from Ohio State. First of all, I love him. I think he's a solid pass rusher. Is he as explosive as maybe some of the top guys, Pierce or Carter or those guys? No, but his run defense tape is an absolute clinic. That's first and foremost. Love it. Pass rush is solid, gives you a boatload of effort. I think he could eventually be a guy that, especially with Hutchinson getting all the other attention, that could go on the other side and get you somewhere around 10 sacks. I do think that's possible in a 17-game season. I think he's a rock-solid, high-floor player. And the only thing he's going to have to deal with in that scenario, as we've said before, is having Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan on the other side and having to go play in Detroit after all the Michigan stuff. But I think they make enough money at that level where they can get over it. I think Jack Sawyer, I think Dan Campbell would love Jack Sawyer.
Oh,
I think
he would fit in that culture immediately.
He's a super high floor player. And you're talking about, I'll tell you what, when they're healthy, not just a pass rush, we know about that. Tell me exactly how you would run the football on Hutchinson, Reeder, McNeil, Sawyer.
Yeah. That's difficult.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck. And if Jack Campbell's going to develop even further behind him, I don't know how in the world, first of all, you would run the football on them. But then, I think Sawyer getting a bunch of those one-on-ones with Hutchinson getting triple teamed, It would. I'm gonna stay on that. I'm just gonna keep manifesting it. Jack Sawyer to the Lions.
I just love it. I think Trevor Sikkema. I watched. If you haven't watched the NFL Stock Exchange mock draft, go check it out right now. They actually did the same exact pick. They had Jack Sawyer going to the Lions. And I think Trevor had a perfect comparison for it. He's like, it's kind of like in those teen high school movies where they have like an arch rival in high school. By the end of the movie, you got to come together and you work together and you accomplish whatever you were doing. Jack Sawyer and Aiden Hutchinson is exactly that. I think they are like the same exact person, just on opposite sides of the rivalry.
One's Ohio State, one's Michigan.
Exactly. So I think
they're actually, you realize they're actually the same sicko.
They're gonna, yeah, they are. No, they literally are. They're both like the high school bully in any Disney Channel movie, basically. That's exactly what Aiden Hutchinson and Jack Sawyer are. I think, honestly, I would love just like the stare down between the two of them in the locker room before they finally come together and work as teammates.
And
I think
then
it'd be
just
so funny.
Campbell just bumping their heads together. Yeah.
Going. He fits that culture. So I want that pick, not only because I think it'd be great on the field, but just the off-field dynamic between those two as just like the hardo Michigan guy versus the hardo Ohio State guy. That'd just be so funny, I think. And obviously, they probably do a bet between the two of them for every Ohio State Michigan game every year then.
It would be appointment TV.
That game week would be testy in that locker room.
Oh, yeah.
It would be silent in the locker room. You better not. Absolutely. Yeah. That is not going to be a fun. It's usually a very fun time to be in Detroit Lions locker room.
They'll do,
but that one week is going
to
be
crazy, like put game checks on it or something.
Yeah. They'll need to separate. They'll have to have Hutchinson on one side of the locker room and Sawyer on the other side for that. But love that pick right there. Just got to recap for our audio-only listeners, our mock draft. Number one overall, Titans take Shedeur Sanders, quarterback from Colorado. Number two, Browns take offensive tackle Calvin Banks Jr. from Texas. Number three, the Giants take Cam Ward, quarterback from Miami. Four, Patriots take Travis Hunter, corner slash wide receiver from Colorado. Five, the Jaguars take Will Johnson, the corner from Michigan. Six, the Raiders take Ashton Jeanty, the running back from Boise State. Seven, Jets take Mason Graham, D-tackle from Michigan. Eight, the Panthers take Abdur Carter, edge defender from Penn State. Number nine, the Saints take Will Campbell, offensive tackle, LSU. 10, the Bears take Nick Scorton, edge rusher from Texas A&M. 11, the 49ers take Wyatt Milam, the offensive tackle from West Virginia. Number 12, the Cowboys take Tedrell McMillan, the wide receiver from Arizona. 13, Dolphins take another receiver, Luther Burden III from Missouri. 14, Colts take Malachi Stark, safety from Georgia. 15, the Falcons take James Pierce Jr., the edge rusher from Tennessee. 16, the Cardinals take Jalen Walker, the edge slash linebacker from Georgia. 17, the Bengals take Kenneth Grant, D-tackle from Michigan. 18, Seahawks take Ariante Ursary, offensive tackle from Minnesota. 19, Texans take Josh Simmons, the tackle from Ohio State. 20, the Broncos take Colson Loveland, tight end from Michigan. Another tight end, 21, to the Buccaneers, and Tyler Warren from Penn State. Number 22, Emeka Egbuka, the wide receiver from Ohio State to the Steelers. Number 23, the Rams take Benjamin Morrison, corner from Notre Dame. 24, Packers take Alec Aimanor, wide receiver from Stanford. 25, Chargers take Princely Montmielen, the edge rusher from Ole Miss. 26, the Commanders take Cameron Williams, offensive tackle from Texas. Another Texas player at 27, to the Ravens, in Jade Barron, the corner. Number 28, Amarion Hampton, the running back from North Carolina, going to the Vikings. Number 29, the Bills take Walter Nolan, D-tackle from Ole Miss. 30, another Georgia Bulldog to the Eagles, and Michael Williams, the edge rusher. 31, another edge rusher in Mike Green from Marshall to the Chiefs. And number 32, another edge rusher, Jack Sawyer from Ohio State, going to the Lions. All right, that wraps up our post-regular season mock draft for the 2025 NFL draft. Got a lot more draft content coming out. Obviously, got a lot more college football content coming out too, Dawn. So, three more games of college football to get through. And we have a massive, massive show on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. live here on this channel. We'll be doing our semifinal review show between Penn State and Notre Dame in the Orange Bowl and Texas versus Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl. And then our national championship preview will be coming out not too long after that either. So a lot to get through for the PFF College Football Show. And then we'll be going really hard into the NFL draft. So subscribe to the channel for all the content coming out very, very soon. We'll see you guys next time.